The medical community, psychologists and psychoanalysts, have studied the traits and characteristics of the human nature. Their research revealed that human beings have essential needs and requirements that are common to one another, such as food, clothing, and shelter. Human beings tend to be sociable people, requiring friendships and meaningful relationships. Now, they do have individual desires and aspirations. They choose a line of work compatible with their goals and their ambitions. Other requirements are of a more private and personal nature. No matter what else one may accomplish, the most important thing is to feel protected, safe, and secure. A sense of well-being provides confidence and assurance. In their study of humanity, the researchers also discovered a deeper side of the feeling nature. They discovered there are certain longings associated with this aspect of being. They include a sense of inward satisfaction and fulfillment, feelings not associated or attached to outer accomplishment and achievement. It would appear that a state of contentment is desired above all else. Going beyond the human nature, the researchers also studied the individual. They noticed that the ones describing themselves as content also feel safe and secure. No matter what was going on in their environment, they were able to rise above it and not be defeated. What was it about these individuals that gave them confidence to act in that way? The researchers began to wonder, is this an attribute of the deeper side of the feeling nature? If this is so, how does one become acquainted with a larger and wider view of themselves? How does this work? They wondered, is this something they could study and measure? In studying the nature of contentment, the question is, what produces it? Since it is of the feeling nature, it has its origin in man. But what motivates it, and what allows us to feel it and to know it? The contented individuals describe themselves as religious, believing in something greater than they are. Now, they consider what is greater than they are to be of a superior nature, possessing qualities and attributes beyond the range of ordinary man. Those who are religious call this greater being God, assigning him the role of protector. The feeling of well-being occurs in their time of prayer. Prayer goes beyond the spoken word, beyond verbal conversation and discussion. This is a state of stillness, and to abide there, the religious individual becomes quiet, open, and receptive to the still small voice. You see, this something they believe in is not some far-off entity, some deity ruling in a universe far, far away. The religious road they chose to travel revealed a God who is near and dear, available and at hand. And yes, they do say that they have a personal relationship with their God, receiving his care and attention. Moving on with their study, the researchers now directed their questions beyond those human traits and characteristics. So far, I have mentioned the nature of the human being, the nature of the religious individual, and the nature of the state of contentment. Now, when discussing the nature of something, it is helpful to understand what we are talking about. Webster defines the word nature in this way: the inherent quality or basic constitution of a person or thing, one's natural instincts or way of life. Our nature is our name. It is how we are known. So the question now becomes, how do we know us? What do we claim as our natural instincts and our way of life? Are we the one of the human acceptance, or do we claim the nature and name of the God that is greater than, wiser than we are? The religious individuals call their nature divine, and then they refer to themselves as spiritual beings. They have read and they have studied the Bible. They read that part about God creating them in His image, after His own likeness. Then they followed the words of Jesus when He said, "God is spirit, must be worshipped in spirit and in truth." Jesus also claimed His nature in this way: "My Father, your Father." Hearing the part about "your Father," the religious individuals reasoned that they too must be of God, which allows them to claim the name and the nature of spiritual being. Jesus told us that God's house, the kingdom of heaven, is in us. Our spiritual nature, our true name, exists in the heart and the soul of all humanity. The inner place of habitation is calm and serene. It is a state of peace and tranquility. And since it is in us, we can enter it at any time in harmony and agreement. This is the method of prayer described by the religious individuals. They become quiet and still. They enter the kingdom and abide in God's presence. We can do the same. However, the one requirement is that we ourselves are quiet and still. We assume an attitude of silence. In the stillness, we are aware beyond words and thoughts. Our place of consciousness is our awareness. Entrance to the spiritual kingdom requires illumined consciousness, going beyond normal awareness. The way to the spiritual house is through prayer and meditation. In Psalm 91, we read, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee." And the reason given is this: because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. Dwelling in the house of the Lord, in the state of high consciousness, one is content, feeling protected, safe, and secure. While this is our true home, we also understand that we enter it in a state of lifted consciousness, and this is important. The state of the human nature is not nearly high enough or deep enough to travel a road that is straight and narrow. Our human awareness may accept an intellectual approach to religion, inspired and stirred by what they have read or by what others have had to say. Now, at this stage of early learning, The novice may claim that he or she is able to look over into the promised land. Not quite there yet, but they are certain it is just a matter of time before he or she can approach the pearly gates and gain entrance to the kingdom. But let us remember that God must be an experience. The promised land is not over there, outside, or beyond for us to look at. It is within. Words of others may reveal truth. However, they cannot give us God as a personal experience. The secret place of the Most High is within us. We must go there ourselves and dwell in His presence. So let us consider what we are doing in a personal way. We may count us among those religious individuals. After all, we have chosen the spiritual road as the one we will travel. In addition, we have chosen our Father which art in heaven to be the God that we worship. However, we do admit there are those times when we do not feel content, safe, and secure. And we find us asking, what is my dwelling place? What is the current state of my consciousness? Consciousness is the seat of awareness. It is where we become aware of anything. Now, sometimes we allow our human nature to be in charge of our guest list, determining who or what may gain entry to our house of consciousness. While some of the guests may behave nicely, others may act up, introducing ideas and suggestions that are not compatible with our spiritual nature. Now, I think that this happens to all of us at one time or another. However, the one who describes himself or herself as a religious individual immediately recognizes the state of unease, acknowledging that they are no longer dwelling in their Father's house. Nevertheless, they know what to do. They return to a state of prayer and meditation. The troubled consciousness becomes still, ridding itself of anything that is not of God. The spiritual nature is now in charge, returning to its rightful place of dominion. We must constantly be aware of what we are doing. The rule of accountability is to continue to ask, what is my dwelling place? What is the current state of my consciousness? Webster defines the word dwell in this way: to abide or remain, reside, exist, to keep the attention directed. Now, this is an important part. As we go about living out our human affairs, where do we direct our attention? Where we direct our attention gets us, and we will dwell there, experiencing what we have set in motion. Let us not forget that the purpose of dwelling in God's house is to know God, to establish a contact with God. Remember, I have pointed out that God must be an experience, and He can only be an experience if we make contact with Him. Any other purpose is the direction of downward glancing, the encouragement of an unillumined consciousness. When we use that method of downward glancing as our direction, we exist and reside in whatever state we have established. Lifted consciousness is the way out. It is the experience of God contact which lives our life, keeping us protected, safe, and secure. If we do not have inner contact with God, truth is merely a statement of mind. And a statement in the mind is very different from demonstration. Once we realize that our conscious oneness with God constitutes our oneness with all spiritual being and idea, and as we learn to establish ourselves in that oneness, when we do this, we shall literally prove there is something that lives our life for us. We discover that God is the activity of everything that we do. If we happen to be a business person, not only will God establish the business, He will provide the product and the clientele to buy it. He does not give us the idea without also providing the method to bring it about, allowing it to fulfill its purpose and its function. If we were to assume the role of the beholder in whatever we are doing, and were to watch the activity of the infinite invisible unfold, we would soon discover that it would unfold as whatever was necessary to its fulfillment, all without our interference, our opinions, or our suggestions. Again, let us return to the passage in Psalm 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And so we ask, exactly, what is our approach to the place of the Most High? Let us not consider the secret place of the Most High to be an ivory tower, where we may visit God, asking Him to take care of all of our problems, using His superior power to defeat our enemies. For instance, consider this. We read, God is the health of my countenance. Now, if this is true, we do not try to get God to use His great power to remove disease. We merely get God. When we have the realization of God, the presence of God realized is the health of our countenance. It does not establish health, does not make health. It is health because God is health, and beside Him there is no other health. This is also true of supply, of companionship, and harmonious relationships, of safety and security. God is all of these things. He is our fortress, our comfort, and our strength. As I mentioned before, our dwelling place is our consciousness, and it is illumined consciousness that dwells in the secret place of the Most High. It is also true that when we have God, we have all that we will ever need. I really cannot say it enough. We live in consciousness. It is our house, our place of habitation. Now, sometimes we may sound like a broken record in reminding you that this is so. Therefore, the next logical question would be, what do we have in our house? By now, our answer should be clear. I have God in my house. Wherever I am, I have God, and that is my sufficiency. What we have in our house, we can share. I have the presence of God in me, and wherever I go, I have that to give. What I know is true of me is true for all humanity. This is my silent benediction to all that I meet. The Christ of me is one with the Christ of you, all one in the Father's house. Now, I must also be sure that I want the presence of God to be the benediction to friend and to foe alike. Now, it's true, not all will be receptive because not all will open their consciousness. However, some will. Our only responsibility is to live from our highest sense of spiritual integrity, allowing the presence to go before us. Lillian DeWaters discusses the invisible qualities that belong to the state of high calling. She speaks of intuition. She describes intuition as the still small voice that arrives at truth without the process of labored thought or reason. Intuition belongs to the high plane, for it labors not. It is the laborless activity of Christ in you. In Jeremiah we read, "I will put my law in your inward parts and write it in their hearts." If one is in trouble, what should he do? Should he sit and think thoughts or read books? Should he concentrate or make suggestions? Should he consider the pros and the cons, guessing at possible outcomes and conclusions? None of the above. When in trouble, we look to the Most High, to the real self, and it is given us what we should think and do, and everything necessary for its fulfillment. The value of high recognition is that it uplifts the mind or lights up the mind and naturally is in contact with divine harmony and order. All that we are or ever will be is within us, as above us. All mysteries, wonders, miracles, all answers to our questions lie in the depth of our being. He who illumines his mind with recognition and contemplation of heavenly things has entered a new order. He abides in his Father's house. Let us keep our mind quickened and illumined with divine inspiration, acknowledging that Spirit is our reality, our nature, and our true name. This morning we have the opportunity to lift our eyes on high, enter the Father's house, and be at peace. Would you join me now in our closing meditation? As we close our worship service, we claim a moment of silence. In the silence, we are in God's presence. In this time of solitude, we enter a state of awareness that is calm and serene. We rest in the tranquility of the moment, peaceful and harmonious, enjoying the fruit of the Spirit. We are in the presence of that one that is greater than we are. The eye of spiritual discernment reveals, this is God's house. I have prepared a place for you. This is the dwelling place of the Most High. And when we abide there, we are in our true place. The basis of our wholeness, our state of completion, is the characteristic of our consciousness. And when we lift our eyes on high, we behold only what is of God. There is none else. Do not be weary or discouraged. The promise is, it is my good pleasure to give you the kingdom. All that I have is thine. The invitation is, come unto me. Let us rise and go to our Father's house. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his light to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Turn within and acknowledge him so that he may lift your consciousness and give you his peace. Amen.
Proclaim, sing joyful praise.
Go in peace and have a blessed week.